The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you today. Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Good to see Ray again, sitting in for Bob Dio while Bob is in, I think he's in upstate New York, at a family reunion. So it's good to have Ray back in the saddle again, engineering and producing the show. Ray was my engineer producer for so many years here on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. It is, of course, the midweek edition. It's June the 12th, 2019. All excited to talk travel in the first half hour of the program, and really excited because I just learned from my buddy Dan Gibson, Dan Shear of the Green Valley News, that my piece that I did for the Green Valley News, a little travel piece I did on the island of Montserrat, an island that's really kind of overlooked. They have that huge volcano there. Half of it's like a modern-day Pompeii. The other half is as green as Ireland, but it's not a destination that a lot of people go to in the Caribbean. So that is up at Buckmaster on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. You can also see it at the greenvalleynews.com on their website. Dick Grunzel is with us, and Dick, you know I like to talk travel.
Absolutely. So do I.
And Dick, of course, is the Vice President of Administration and Finance, Chief Financial Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority. He's been very busy. He was down in the Caribbean, as was I. Pretty much our vacations overlapped in May. The weather is always pretty darn good, Dick. As you know, before June 1st, before the hurricane season comes. So May, I find, is really nice.
Oh, May is just wonderful time in the Caribbean.
Then you were in Europe, traveled on American through, now American is doing a flight out of Phoenix, now to London. British Airways had that for a long time, and they're a code share partner for Tucson people. It's really good.
It really is. And, you know, connecting in Phoenix to that flight, of course, starting here at Tucson International Airport is the best way to go. And, you know, we hear it over and over, and we've heard it for years. A lot of times on international travel, if you compare prices by starting in Phoenix on American or one of their One World partners, British Airways as well, as compared to starting your flight in Tucson and connecting in Phoenix, we hear it time and time again, it's cheaper for many people who actually start their flight in Tucson and fly out of Tucson rather than just driving up to Phoenix.
And I have done that firsthand experience. I plugged in a trip Tucson-Vancouver. Tucson was cheaper, Tucson-Vancouver, than if you would just plug in the nonstop Phoenix-Vancouver. So I don't understand kind of the economics of it, but you would think that it would be more expensive because it's an extra flight, but I guess the airlines sometimes want to get you to the hubs, right?
Yes, and if you know, I'd love it if I could explain airline pricing to you, but it's way beyond me, and I think beyond anybody. I'm not even sure the airlines understand it, frankly.
One thing Dick Grunzel can explain, and he will here in the next few moments, is that passenger traffic continues to surge at our airport, at Tucson International Airport. Dick, you've been looking at the numbers. You're a numbers guy, and what do they show to you?
It's really tremendous. You know, the most recent information we have is through the month of April, and our fiscal year starts in October, so that's the easiest numbers to look at. So for our first 7 months of our fiscal year through April, we're up almost 8% in passengers over last year. And what's even more amazing is when you compare that to where we've been over the last few years. Compared to 2 years ago, we're up almost 12%. And compared to 3 years ago, we're up 19% for those first 7 months of the fiscal year. So just really tremendous. And, you know, the airlines are you know, have really been showing confidence in our market by adding additional flights, using larger planes. I mean, it's really been tremendous, and people in Tucson have been taking advantage of it.
What is driving the economy is looking better here in Tucson. Unemployment is quite low. The stock market's been doing pretty darn well. There are a lot of factors that drive this growth.
A lot of factors, exactly, and you know, tourism as well. And you you know, talk regularly with Visit Tucson,
right?
I'm sure you know, they're telling you how the, you know, it reflected in things like hotel you know, revenue and room night growth that is also driving the passenger traffic. And frankly, the airlines, you know, after the Great Recession, concentrated first on beefing up service between the much larger markets. They are, you know, now they're searching for, you know, opportunities a little further, you know, down the line. So small to mid sized airports like Tucson, besides just a general economic, you know, growth, the airlines are just paying a lot more attention to us lately because this is where the opportunities are for them.
Dick Runzel is with us. It is our quarterly look at Tucson Air Service on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments about our airport, now is a great time to give us a call on the live line, 790-2040. I want to go over some of these. We've talked a little bit about the use of larger planes, and we have seen a spike now in service. We've got Southwest to San Jose. Dick, is that going to be a daily flight?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's started already.
Okay.
You know, it's you know, funny. I mean, you know, the I think a year, 2 years ago in August, Alaska Airlines started a daily flight to San Jose.
Right.
And before you know it, Southwest announced a flight to San Jose. So now we have two daily flights to San Jose, whereas less than 2 years ago, we had none. So both of those are just great opportunities to the Bay Area. Of course, we already have service several flights a day. You know, kind of depends on time of the year, but two to four flights per day to San Francisco on United Airlines, which has been around for quite some time. But now, you know, two other options with Alaska and Southwest to also get to the Bay Area.
United is now doubling their number of seats to Houston. That's good news.
Yeah, and United, you know, really over the last couple of years, they had a, you know, kind of a change in their management that started a couple of years ago. The their president, who moved over to United from American, and ever since he went over, one of his big strategies was to essentially, you know, gain back the business that he felt that they had lost, you know, to their rivals over the last, you know, the previous 5 years or so. And one of those markets, you know, for us is Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back a number of years ago, we used to have multiple flights a day, large aircraft to Houston. After the recession, that dwindled down to, you know, really meager levels. And in the last year, they have really concentrated on that. It's a great connecting hub to get to a lot of destinations east to the southeast United States, Florida. We're really happy to see that.
I like the fact now Delta has stepped it up. They're added a flight to Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City itself, a great area to go to, you know, skiing in the winter and just a great summer destination being in a higher elevation, but also one of Delta Airlines' major hubs. Really just increasing connecting opportunities, whether it might be to Canada, to the Pacific Northwest. That's great to see as well.
And you mentioned Alaska, of course, to San Jose, but one of their big flights, and that flight, I've taken that flight a bunch of times, Tucson to Seattle. It's always packed. There's always a wait list. Okay, Alaska got the word. They added a second daily flight.
But unfortunately, though, it's only seasonal.
Oh, okay.
But
is it up through what? then?
Right about now is about that it's ending.
Okay.
And Seattle also, besides the, you know, Alaska has had the daily, the single daily flight to Seattle for, you know, for a very long time. But Delta actually entered the market with nonstop flights between Tucson and Seattle several years ago. And that is seasonal as well. So actually this last year, we had as many as 3 or 4 flights a day going to Seattle between Alaska and Delta.
I think the market can certainly sustain that. Tucson people love the Northwest. They love to go up to Vancouver, and they do have an opportunity now to get into Vancouver, that market, a little easier through Allegiant Airlines.
Correct.
Which is operating out of the old area where Aeromexico used to.
That's right.
Correct.
The old what we called the international terminal.
Right.
Allegiant came in last fall with 2 weekly flights to Provo, which is right near Salt Lake City area. Also 2 flights to Bellingham, which is easy driving distance to Vancouver. Now, Bellingham, they did start that seasonally. So right now we have the flights to Provo. Bellingham will be coming back in the fall again. But Allegiant, one of those airlines that, we knew they'd be coming to Tucson. It was just a matter of time, and they finally did.
United, we mentioned them to their service to Houston, but they're also put a larger aircraft into the O'Hare area in Chicago.
Right. They, United, I mean, again, this is another one of those markets where United felt that they had just kind of lost their market share to a number of other airports from Chicago. So United came into the market. Previously, it was only served by American and Southwest for us here. But United came back into the market a couple years ago. They started out with a regional jet. They moved it up to a mainline, I believe Airbus A319 or 320 this last busy season. Now, unfortunately, they're suspending that flight for the summer, but we already know that coming this fall, when they are going to resume that flight, it's going to be twice a day.
All right, let's see if we can work caller Paul in before I talk about Mona's Danish Bakery and the Danish Kringle. Dick, you know I like the Kringle, and you spent time in Wisconsin. You know all about the Kringle.
Yes, I do.
But let's see what Paul has to say. He's got some service about Mexico and San Diego on his radar screen. Is that right, Paul?
That is correct. I think our only nonstop service is still that cattle car from Southwest to San Diego, and it seemed like American could, or some other major airline could make a nonstop, since that's our major tourist destination here in the summer. And I do a lot of business in Mexico, and as much as we rave about our closeness to Mexico here, I don't think we have any service out of Tucson, do we?
All right, Paul.
Whose fault is that?
Thanks, Paul. Go ahead, Dick.
Yeah, thanks for the questions. Right now, we do not have any nonstop flights to Mexico. We have had...
it's on your radar screen.
It is on our radar screen. We're constantly talking to airlines to try and persuade them to add that service. We did have a flight to Hermosillo most recently, 2 or 3 years ago, on a Mexican carrier called Aeromar. Unfortunately, that didn't work out for them. Not enough people got on the plane, so that service unfortunately went away. Concerning San Diego, you're correct. Southwest, we do have 2 to 3 flights per day, depending on time of year, to San Diego. Another one of those, Alaska, believe it or not, I think is probably the most likely candidate. We've been talking to Alaska for years and years and years, because we feel it's an excellent opportunity as well, and we think Alaska could do well on that route.
Yeah, because they've beefed up the San Diego coverage. They're flying now to Hawaii, all the islands from San Diego. They're flying from Mexico, from San Diego, so that would be a natural. But I think Paul brings up a point. We've got good service into LAX, with American, Delta, Southwest. I think we could use some boosting in San Diego.
Yeah, well, I mean, to you know, not to throw a little bit of water on the conversation, but actually Southwest has actually shrunk the service to San Diego because they just weren't getting enough people on the plane.
Okay. It's, you would think it would be such a natural because of the way Tucsonans love San Diego.
Right.
But we're going to take the break right here. Dick Grunzel sticks around for another segment. When we talk travel, it just seems like it's gone. 30 minutes gone. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're open right now, Dick, for they do breakfast now all day. They open at 6:30. We've been up there numerous times, and they'll pretty much do whatever you want. The bacon and eggs, the pancakes, blueberry or chocolate pancakes. Had them both. Very good. I like to do the scrambled eggs, sometimes bacon, hash browns, and then go to the bakery case for one of Steve, chief baker and owner's, almond croissants.
Do they have sleeping quarters then after that?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, I'm so full by the time I'm ready to go out of there. I do need a nap. Mona's DanishBakery.com and the partners, all the partners, including Tucson International Airport, a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to JamCulinaryConcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. There's so much going on over there. One of their big pro rodeos, the big rodeo circuit, is in Silver City this week. So if you're into rodeo, and then they've got the pottery festival, they call it the clay festival, coming up at Silver City. SouthwestNewMexico.org is the place to start your trip planning. It's only a 3-hour drive, and this time of year, hey, folks, it's an easy sell because it's anywhere from 6,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. It's going to be cooler over there. We send so many of our listeners over there. People have a great time over in Silver City. So put it on your radar screen as a weekend getaway this summer. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. On our radar screen right now is Tucson International Airport, and I'm always urging people, you've heard my spots during the show, always urging people to use the local airport. By the time you get in the car, especially Dick Runzel with us from the airport, this time of year, do you really want to get in the hot car and do the I-10 drive? And if there's a traffic delay, you could be 3 hours in the hot car.
Yeah, and then you missed your flight.
Yeah.
On top of it.
Yeah. We've only got about 6 minutes, Dick, and we've been talking about a lot of increases in air service. Folks are wondering about the Boeing 737 MAX. I still have people who say to me, gee, I sure hope it says on the airline, on the website, that I'm on a 737. Well, it's not going to be a MAX.
Certainly not right now.
Not right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it really is unfortunate because it's really impacting, basically, United, Southwest, and American are all being impacted fairly significantly by the grounding of the MAX. I think the numbers I see with American, for example, says as long as the MAX is grounded, they have to reduce their number of daily flights throughout the country by 115 per day.
Wow. And so that's a shuffling that goes on every day.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah, they build it into their schedule to a certain point. But I mean, but American, for example, just they had been previously they had taken the MAX out of their schedule through about mid-August. But recently, I guess because they just they're reading the tea leaves, they decided to take the MAX out of their schedules for another 3 weeks through the first part of September. And other things I've been seeing indicate that many people don't expect it to be back flying again until possibly December.
Yep.
You know, we can't point to anything specific that's happening here in Tucson that's affecting us, but you have to wonder, United not continuing the Chicago flight through the summer months, could that be a result of just the fact that they just don't have enough airplanes to go around?
Right. May through September, of course, slower for airport traffic. And again, a lot of local people, of course, are vacationing, but we don't have the winter visitors. But here's some good news about American, up from 6 to 7 daily flights over to the hub at DFW, American increasing the Phoenix flights 5 to 6. That's all good news, and it all adds up to scheduled seats up almost 6% over last year during this period.
Right, and like you said, the summer months is a slower overall period, but that's when the most travel for people who live in Tucson is going on.
Sure.
So these additional flights to DFW and Phoenix, American's big hubs, as well as San Francisco, really boosts the connecting opportunities and will make it a lot easier for people to book flights for where they want to go for summer vacation.
And then looking ahead, of course, to our prime time, October and beyond, that's when we get a lot of flights picking up again.
Yeah, I mean, just up and down the list, Alaska will be resuming their flights to Portland in November. Allegiant, as we previously mentioned, Bellingham, Washington, returning in October. Delta and Sun Country both will be resuming their flights to Minneapolis in November. Delta also, and this is not something that's happened before, Delta has had 2 flights a day to Atlanta. They'll
on
be
big,
adding
on big aircraft.
Sometimes Boeing 757s, which are very large.
Yep.
And they will be adding a 3rd daily flight to Atlanta in November. So that's tremendous news.
I did not know that. So they're going with 3 starting in November.
Right.
Whoa.
Frontier, who also was not flying to Denver over the summer. They came in last fall. They'll be returning in November. So that's great news for flights to Denver. Just really nice price competition there. And then, as we previously mentioned, United will have 2 daily flights to Chicago, adding to both American, which has either 2 to 3 flights per day, depending on time of year, and also Southwest, which flies to Midway once a today. And then Southwest this fall around the holidays will also be doing some once weekly flights to Oakland. So another option to the Bay Area.
So people who say, why don't we get better air service? Well, it all boils down to people using our airport. The airlines are in a business of selling seats, putting people in seats. I could say something else about putting people in seats, but it's capacity.
And that's what it's all about. And, you know, these passenger increases that we've seen couldn't be possible without the airlines adding more capacity. So they're seeing that we have the demand here. And the more people we keep here, the more flights we're going to have. Most of the new routes we've seen lately are existing destinations that we have. But the more people we have here, it gives us that much better of a chance to make our case for adding new destinations that aren't currently served.
And a lot of what we've been talking about is on the fine website for Tucson International Airport. It's flytucson.com. It's easy to use. All sorts of information. There's all sorts of news about the flight updates, and you can track real time your flight and everything else, right, Dick?
And compare your costs.
Compare the costs.
All-in costs, including parking and gas and all that kind of stuff.
All right, Dick Grunzel, good to have you back in town. You've been doing a lot of traveling, and we'll get through the summer, right? Yeah. Dick, thanks a lot. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
Dick Grunzel with us from the Tucson Airport Authority. It's Buckmaster Midway Point on the midweek on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a business who wants to make a difference in children's education without it costing a single penny? IBE, a school tuition organization, wants you to know about the Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. Talk to your accountant today. For two decades, IBE has made it simple for corporate donors, working with over 290 schools. IBE awards 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. The following segment presented by Sierra Tucson. For more than 35 years, Sierra Tucson has been a place of peace, hope, and healing as an international treatment center. We're going to get into what some of those areas are covered by the treatment center. With me in studio, we have Suzanne Miller, who's the brand management director for Sierra Tucson. Always good to see Suzanne. And we welcome to the program Dr. Valerie Kading. Dr. Val Kading is chief operating officer, and she's also a doctor of nursing practice. Val, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Bill. Well, it's an honor to be here today.
Well, it's an honor to have you in our beautiful studios. As I mentioned, 35 years, Val, Sierra Tucson has been a place that a lot of people have turned to, and it's a place that they do find peace, hope, and healing. What areas are covered, Val, in your treatment center? You've got the obvious being drug and alcohol addiction. What are some of the other ones?
Right. So we have historically been known to treat drug and alcohol use disorders, but we also treat mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and also co-occurring diagnoses.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Sierra Tucson here on the program and its history and new programs, Val, that are designed to treat depression, trauma, etc. What about the problem of addiction? There has been a lot of information out there. Last night while watching the Diamondbacks, I even saw a commercial, Suzanne, for addiction treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, during the ball game. So with so many choices, what sets Sierra Tucson apart, Val?
I'm really proud to say that we truly offer an integrative model of care. So we treat the whole person and not just the problems that the person is coming to Sierra Tucson for, but we also treat the mind, body, and spirit. We support the person with a loving and caring environment that deals primarily with the root causes of addiction. And that's really by addressing human beings as not just having a disease to be treated, but really treating the human being in, again, the mind, body, and spirit for the disease that they suffer from. And at Sierra Tucson, we recognize that untreated trauma leads to the failure where so many individuals who find themselves chronically relapsing into this spiral of opioid addiction, alcoholism, and even gambling and sex addiction.
It can lead to all these other things.
It absolutely
does. Like you mentioned, the gambling, the sex addiction. So your staff understands all this and tries to get at this kind of co-occurring trauma, right, Val?
Absolutely. Our staff are experts in really understanding and trying to get to the root cause of what's causing all of these issues.
Tell me a bit more about when you talk about untreated trauma, Valerie Kading, what are we talking about with that untreated trauma?
So research shows us that adverse childhood experiences like physical abuse, sexual abuse, potentially having a family member incarcerated, are oftentimes manifested in adulthood depression, substance use, anxiety, and even medical issues. And we've also learned through research and science that these adverse childhood experiences and trauma in childhood can actually lead to neurophysiological and neurochemical changes that increases one's risk for substance use and mood disorders.
So always treating a symptom while too frequently treating the root cause of the disease cannot be kind of the hallmarks of addiction treatment, I guess, in the face of the opioid crisis, right?
Absolutely. We really need to ask as healthcare providers, how did we get here? How did we make this change? And, you know, what's happened in one's childhood? What's happened in terms of their trauma past, and how can we uncover that and address it in treatment?
And Suzanne Miller, the opioid crisis has been just a huge issue in this country. It really is a national crisis.
It is, absolutely, and it's not going away.
Tell me a little bit, Valerie Kading, about you. We talked about briefly the opioid crisis. What about some other drugs?
So as this opioid epidemic continues to unfold, studies also show that alcohol use disorder remains an even larger and growing public healthcare problem. And marijuana has also been so casual into our American lifestyle. It's actually, as many people know, legal in many states.
I think there's now, Valerie, 10 states where it's legal, and that number keeps growing. So it's certainly going to be with us.
Absolutely. And the sad reality is that the effects of marijuana use can be extremely devastating, especially for our young individuals.
So we might be able to say that this is not your parents' marijuana, right?
It is absolutely not your parents' marijuana. The THC content is considerably higher than 15, 20, even 30 years ago, Bill. And there are really devastating effects, especially, again, to the young individuals and the developing mind.
How big a deal is this, Valerie Kading? Is this a big-time public health crisis?
It's absolutely a big-time public health crisis. It directly impacts, again, the health of our individuals and our community. And let's also not forget about the suicide epidemic. Mm-hmm. There's oftentimes this relationship between addiction and suicide.
Tell me a little bit about the how successful, kind of the bottom line, how successful are you at Sierra Tucson in treating addiction? Do you have a proven track record?
We absolutely do. Treatment outcomes are critical in evaluating the success of any treatment program, and we're very proud, again, to say that we are measuring our outcomes, and we have a mobile app that each patient has upon discharging from Sierra Tucson, and we collect outcome data for our participants 1 year post-discharge. This app not only collects data, but also provides a support for our patients and also contact with their recovery coach that they meet at Sierra Tucson. And what we're learning from the data that we're collecting is that our patients are experiencing improvement in their ability to cope with stress and quality of life that sustains over time. We're also seeing positive results with areas such as primary relationships, return to work, and seeking medical treatment.
How about you? How did you hook up with Sierra Tucson, your own background?
So I am a psychiatric nurse practitioner, okay, and I worked 10 years in outpatient community mental health, mm-hmm, prior to joining Sierra Tucson. And what was very attractive to me about Sierra Tucson was our ability to truly provide integrative care and to work in a team of collaborative professionals. So not only am I working alongside psychiatric providers, but I'm also working alongside naturopathic physicians, psychologists, therapists, pharmacists, and it's really been an honor and a pleasure to be working in that sort of team environment.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Calgary, Canada, and
great,
also Phoenix.
I know Calgary very well from our trips to the Canadian Rockies.
Have you been to the Calgary Stampede?
It's coming up in July. It's the big event. So were you always interested in psychiatric work?
Yes.
You were. Even as a little girl, you were thinking about a healthcare profession.
I was.
Good for
absolutely
you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Suzanne Miller, let's bring you into the conversation. For people that don't know about the campus and where you are, and you have exciting news about the new hospital that opened, where are you? People have maybe heard of Sierra Tucson, but where are you on the landscape?
I know. A lot of people don't know about Sierra Tucson and our integrated approach to care and the experts that we have on staff. And you know, our thing is that we really want to be a solution, mm-hmm, for the things that we mentioned today, the opioid crisis, educating on marijuana. It's really just, we want to be part of why this crisis goes away. Mm-hmm. And we have to be proactive on that. So right here in Tucson, we have Sierra Tucson that is available for local residents. I know we're known worldwide.
Yeah, and some people think, well, you've got to be a rich rock star or something and to fly into Tucson to go right to Sierra Tucson. But this is for Tucson people as
right.
well,
I mean, we are very cool. So, yes, we do yeah. have that. But yeah. we are really for everyone. And we do take, you know, health care. Insurance coverage,
right.
And we really want to serve everyone. We are available on our website 24/7 for people to learn more information at sierratucson.com.
Or people could give you a call.
Yeah, our admissions department is really available to answer questions, mm-hmm. really get to the heart of what the needs are, because we have a lot of information on our website. It's really helpful, but sometimes you just want to get right to the point.
Yes.
And if you call 800-842-4487, we are there. We are ready to take any questions that you have. And we also have a chat feature on our website.
Good.
So that's very helpful too and can be more convenient. But any way that works for you, we're available.
All right. And hopefully we'll have this interview up on the website too.
Yeah, we will actually have it up there. And to answer your question
yes.
about where we are,
yes.
we're north of Tucson, so in Catalina. So if you go over to Merivale, we're across
right.
the street.
Okay, there you go.
So up against the beautiful mountains, and it's just serene and peaceful, and we're very lucky. As a lot of people say, you pull up and it's like a bird flies on your shoulder. And
wow, great place to
you
work.
Know,
great
yeah.
place to work. Suzanne Miller, always a pleasure. Dr. Valerie Kading, Chief Operating Officer, Doctor of Nursing Practice. Valerie, it was great meeting you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, sierratucson.com is the website. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. Everybody is talking here at 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. And I'm talking. I'm Bill Buckmaster, and I'm talking about Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's exciting because Green Things is a destination in itself. On the 13-acre site, yes, you'll find everything you need for the garden, all those wonderful plants, but you'll also find all the merchandise, the wonderful handmade merchandise in the Zocalo Village. Five shops devoted to great merchandise. Go to greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome now on the live line Kevin Dahl. Kevin is the Arizona Program Manager for the Southwest Region of the National Parks Conservation Association. And Kevin, I think the association is celebrating its centennial year this year. Is that correct? How are you doing?
That's correct, Bill. We're very excited to have 100 years under our belt at this point. It's also the centennial of Grand Canyon National Park, which we're going to talk about today.
We are.
Yeah. We were founded by the same people who founded the Park Service. They knew that national parks belonged to all and should be part of the federal government, but they wanted a private, you know, business-oriented watchdog and advocate, and so that's what we've done for these 10 decades of excellence.
Kevin, I'm curious your take on these recent deaths that have been going on at the Grand Canyon. We've had a variety of incidents. Is that something, unfortunately, that happens kind of every year, or is this somewhat of an anomaly of what's going on at the Grand Canyon, Kevin Dahl?
Well, it's not much of a trend in that there have been deaths at the Grand Canyon for decades. It's not a tremendously dangerous place, but it gets a lot of visitation. 6 million people this year to go there, and it's you may not expect what you're going to find there. It's at 7,000 feet, and if you have a bad heart and are coming from sea level and are very excited about your trip and you get there, 6 million people die from all sorts of things all the time, but the deaths that are, and they're all tragic, but the deaths that make the news are those incredible ones where someone's taking a selfie and they slip, there has been some changes. It's tended to be in the past young men who are, going past the handrails and going off trail and getting that incredible picture on a balanced rock at the edge, and then they slip and fall. Recently, it's been older people who are falling, and I was talking to one Park Service friend who thinks that it might be because it's, the baby boomer generation.
Oh.
We've always been adventuresome and outdoorsy, and, our bodies are not doing exactly what they used to do in the past. So we may be misgauging our abilities to handle. It's a rugged place. There's tall cliffs with crumbling rock and gravel on the top, and it's hot. And it's dry, so some of the deaths have to be with people misjudging and taking a trail down in and not having enough water and perhaps going off trail and not being able to find their way back. It's not an amusement park. It's not designed for our safety. It's not tremendously dangerous either. It's just that you have to, to pay attention and use common sense.
Yeah, and then we were entertaining three people from Switzerland, from Geneva, Switzerland, that we've met in our travels. They were out here. Tucson was the first stop in a three-week park adventure. They went up to Monument Valley. They were up at Zion and Bryce, of course, the Grand Canyon. And they want to do Death Valley. I think they're over there right now in Death Valley. And for the Europeans, there's a certain, it's kind of cool to think about maybe I'm going to be in a place, Kevin Dahl, where I can do a selfie on a showing a thermometer that shows 120 in the background.
Yeah. Well, if you're coming out of an air-conditioned car and then, walking 20 feet to an air-conditioned visitor center, that can, and there's a few of us. Frankly, Bill, I'm a desert rat. I love the summers here. I hike, and I'm careful, but I hike and take plenty of water and don't get overheated. But the other new phenomenon is the selfies and the selfie stick. There's the old joke where, you've asked someone to take a picture of your family at the edge of the canyon, and the guy says, "Just step back a little further. Step back a little further." with selfies, you're doing it to yourself. You're trying to put yourself in the picture at the right angle, and I don't know, Bill, if you've taken a selfie, but I do it all the time at these mm-hmm. beautiful places. And you get a tunnel vision. You're just looking at yourself, and the background's kind of like a picture, right?
Yeah.
And so it's easy enough to not pay attention. And that's what's happened, unfortunately, to some people in some very beautiful spots, including the Grand Canyon.
What's the latest on we've been hearing about mining near the park? Is there something, bottom line, you could tell our listeners about that?
Sure. You know, there's 1 million acres of public land that are outside the park, Forest Service and BLM, and there's a temporary moratorium on new uranium mining, which is the particular problem up there. Congressman Grijalva and Congressman Tom O'Halloran and others have introduced a bill which was heard last week to make that permanent so that, you know, these are public lands. We don't make a lot of money. The public doesn't make much money when they're mined for uranium. And there's not a huge need for uranium at this point. We're getting most of our uranium from our allies, Canada and Australia, and as well as the United States. So there's no need to think that it's strategic or a military need. This is an area that should not be mined because the aquifers are complicated, and we just don't want that radioactivity being released into the springs and beautiful side creeks of the Grand Canyon.
Another issue that's been in the news, more than 96% of the Grand the national parks did an assessment that there's an air pollution problem over our national parks. So this shouldn't be too surprising, but it does hamper visibility and diminishes the experience somewhat, Kevin Dahl.
That's right. And it's been a goal since the 1970s of the United States to bring clean air and great visibility back to these special places, the national parks, which, by the way, includes Saguaro National Park. Mm-hmm. And we've made some progress, but it doesn't look like we're going to make our goals by 2042 to have the air pristine. And so there's measures that should be taken, and we want to recognize that it's not just visibility. These are health impacts. These are pollutants that cause health impacts to the residents and visitors as well.
Let's see if we can work Carl's question. Carl called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, reference mining at the Grand Canyon. There's a lot of people that have some real mistaken ideas about that. The uranium mines, they're not mines, they would be dug out. They're miles and miles away from the Grand Canyon. You would not be able to see them from the Grand Canyon. Grijalva, when he did his thing, had the map that basically had the huge spots from where the mines were looking like they would be right next to the Grand Canyon. They wouldn't. And you're talking about radioactivity in the aquifers. That's really not a problem with those things. And the other thing is, you know, if you go ahead and mine them, you're removing the radioactivity. There's plenty of radioactivity right now, material in the river itself from the other pipes, deposits that have eroded. The river has eroded out, and it's going down the river now.
Okay,
and
thanks.
The other thing, these people have been paying for those mining claims, the assessments on them yearly to the Bureau of Land Management ever since they got them. And so, you know, they have been paying for them.
Okay, thank you, Carl. Go ahead, Kevin, if you have a comment.
It sounds like Carl's with the mining industry, and there's a small percentage of people who disagree with us, but he's saying some things that aren't wrong. I've been to these mine sites. Some are on the edge of the geologic Grand Canyon, not inside the park, but on the edge of the canyon. There are historic ones, including very close to the visitor center, that we don't even know the extent of the radioactive pollution from that mine, which has been closed and hasn't been capped or, and, you know, it's a Superfund site right next to, you know, within a mile of El Tovar Lodge. The creek below it, you cannot drink the water because it's radioactive.
Hmm.
Elsewhere in northern Arizona, we have a long history of uranium mining causing all sorts of problems to drinking water and producing radioactive dust. Every Native American nation in northern Arizona has banned it from their lands, and they join with us in saying that this sacred area to them and this important national park that belongs to the public needs to be protected by not having uranium mining nearby.
Kevin, I'm out of time, but can you quickly, and I mean really quickly, answer Roberta's question, how do we clean up the air, bottom line?
Well, there are certain sources, such as coal-fired power plants. There's one Navajo generating station near Grand Canyon where we either need to put better controls or this one is closing down. Cars are a major source that affect Saguaro, and the Rosemont Mine will affect it if that goes in. So there's ways to do it.
Kevin Dull, thank you very much. Always a pleasure talking about the Grand Canyon. We appreciate your work with the National Parks Conservation Association. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ray Allen Engineering and Producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice. Have a great afternoon.